Hello, welcome to the debate. I'm Kevin Tafway. Now, during a debate on Brexit, the UK Prime Minister Theresa May decided not to chance a vote on Brexit. Well, this move has further divided the UK Parliament and the UK as a whole. Will this cost Prime Minister Theresa May her job? Well, in this debate, we will look at what she can do to save the deal and her job, and whether the UK is doomed in having any Brexit deal at all. The real question is, how will the British public react to all of this? First, let's go and cross on over to Brussels and get an update from Press TV's Jerome Hughes about May's visit and her efforts to salvage the deal. Jerome, any updates or breakthroughs?
Well, Kava, no breakthroughs. I must say the trip to Europe for Theresa May was a complete disaster. After her meeting with Angela Merkel, Merkel said that there would be no changes to the deal that's on the table that has been already ratified. When she went to the European Council, close to where I'm speaking to you from now, Donald Tusk, the head of the European Council, didn't even meet her and greet her, which is very unusual, and there was no photo shoot and so on. So the EU has been very consistent all day that there will be no improvements to the deal. She's talking about reassurances relating to the backstop. The EU side is insisting on the backstop because it upholds the 1998 Good Friday Peace Agreement. And basically it means that the Northern Ireland would stay in the customs union under certain circumstances, which means there would be no need for border checks between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. As I say, it's part of the Good Friday Agreement. So the EU is insisting on that. But the DUP, which is propping up Theresa May's government, they feel that the deal that she has hammered out aligns the Northern Ireland too closely to the EU compared to the rest of the UK. So they're very unhappy. And the EU, as I say, has been consistently saying that there will be no improvements to this deal. So even, let's say, in theory, the government collapses in the UK and maybe, you know, Jeremy Corbyn is the next prime minister, what the EU is basically saying is that there will be no better deal. So therefore, it means that wouldn't get through Parliament either. Therefore, we're left with two options. That's potentially another Brexit referendum. And if the vote was changed this time, that could cause a major problem, potentially civil unrest, because the hardline Brexiteers are so adamant they want Brexit. So that could be a problem. The other one, of course, the other option is crashing out of the UK, crashing out of the EU without a deal, a hard Brexit. And again, so many negative connotations and complications, and it could be potentially disastrous for the UK, that scenario. So really, there doesn't seem to be any good options. And at the moment, we're just waiting to see how this pans out. But really, it's a very, very difficult situation.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Jerome Hughes there, correspondent, talking to us there from Brussels. Okay, our guest joining us in this edition of the debate from both sides of the Atlantic. First, senior advisor to ex-London Mayor Lee Jasper joins us from London. And in the U.S., editor at Veterans Today, Mike Harris, joins us from Phoenix. I'd like to welcome you both. And Lee Jasper, I don't know if you heard our correspondent there, but an absolute failure, no improvements, and even the president of the European Council wouldn't meet May. How do you see things, Lee Jasper?
It's completely catastrophic. What we're witnessing is the sort of implosion of British government. The Tory party is just simply engaged in an act of political suicide, which is tearing itself asunder in public view. The trip today was an utter failure. It was always going to be so. The withdrawal of the critical vote tomorrow shows a prime minister on the run who understands that if she was to lose that vote tomorrow, if it were to go ahead in Parliament in relation to her Chequers deal, that a defeat would almost certainly require her resignation. The problem is, of course, for the Tory party, is that there is nobody of sufficient standing with enough support to become her replacement. And so we're stuck in a sort of dystopian hell in which nobody really wants to pick up the toxic bag of the Brexit negotiations. And all are standing back watching Theresa May commit political suicide.
Mike Harris, I mean, it's you know, what seems to be the thorny issue over here, based on what's been reported, is this backstop. And of course, even the EU, in a sense, well, they have said they're not interested in even triggering the backstop. But do you think that that is really what this is all about? I mean, how do you view the way that things have progressed or not progressed for Theresa May?
Well, first of all, let's look at a couple other things, too. I think that the EU is all bluster and blow right now. They're saying that they can't get a better deal. They can always get a better deal. They just don't want to. And I think that they're trying to intimidate the UK into knuckling under to what the EU wants. Now, understand that the EU is a globalist organization with a globalist agenda. They're opposed to UK sovereignty, and they want to make this greater European Union where all the countries dilute their own sovereignty. I don't think that's what the people in the UK voted on. They voted to restore their sovereignty and let the EU go ahead and bluster and blow. The backstop agreement is a critical issue here, and as your commentator earlier said, it's because of the Northern Ireland situation and the border crossing there. And there are some legitimate concerns with where is Northern Ireland's alignment with. Is it with the UK or is it with the EU? And so these are issues that have to be explored. But, you know, the Brexiteers, I support them fully. Go for a hard Brexit and cash out of this thing. Get it done. Move on. And, you know, as Admiral Farragut said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
What do you think, Lee Jasper? Full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes, and crash out.
Well, like demented lemmings, they head for the cliff, only to throw their bodies over to be smashed on the rocks beneath. The delusion is almost psychotic in its level. One would normally assume that somebody had maybe imbibed some substances, because the reality is Britain is going to be an extraordinarily poorer nation as a consequence of any decision it takes in relation to the referendum. The fact is that even the government's own analysis shows that every option for Brexit leaves us a little poorer. And the worst is crashing out with no deal. The Northern Ireland question is very interesting, of course, because my own analysis is slightly different from my colleague there in New York, in America. Insofar as the UK's population, having been drip-fed a constant diet of propaganda against immigrants, against Europe, a sort of brash British patriotism and xenophobia, has been the constant diet of the media for the last 25 and 30 years. And so a population so miseducated by the press has been asked a question in which immigration and race is featured highly, and have come up with entirely the wrong answer based on their own prejudices. Now, that's not to say everybody who voted Brexit was a racist, but certainly all racists are voting Brexit. And I think it's curious with Northern Ireland that it's actually that old colonial history, the power grab of Ireland, that is proving to be the pebble in the shoe for the Brexiteers, for which threatens the whole unity of the United Kingdom.
Well, Mike Harris, it's interesting how the EU is said to be in the driver's seat here. I think the way you described the EU, saying that it could always give the UK a better deal, but it just isn't. But isn't the EU itself not on that much solid footing? I mean, are we looking at an EU that's doing that well? It's hard to decipher from the reports that you hear whether the EU is doing well or it's not doing well.
Well, we're not. You look at the lower tier of EU states. You look at Greece, Spain, Italy, Portugal. Their economies have not benefited long term from joining the EU. They're overburdened with debt right now. Their economies are not productive. They're getting buried in immigrants and in migrants, and they're saying no. And really, what the EU fears, my opinion, is that if the UK does a successful Brexit, that other countries may follow, and the EU comes apart. And so that's really what we're looking at, is the fear of the EU. They're trying to hold it together and act like they're in the catbird seat. They're really not, because they have so much more to lose if this Brexit deal goes badly for them. They should make compromises, and they should be bending over backwards to get a decent deal with the UK, but they're misplaying their hand entirely.
Okay, let's zoom in a little bit on the UK Prime Minister, as if we haven't in the past 2 years, Lee Jasper. But but really, you know, this thing with the vote being taken back and for her to go to the EU, she wasn't even received by Donald Tusk. But doesn't that weaken her stance vis-a-vis the EU, and then more importantly, within her own party and the people of the UK? Because ultimately, we can see that that trip is now a fiasco. What has she got to come back to in order to salvage anything if she can?
Well, it's a Greek tragedy of global proportions. That's the truth. And we see it playing out on our screen. Everybody knew that the EU is not going to budge one iota on where it sees itself. And everybody knew it was a totally wasted effort for Theresa May to go to the European Union on this sort of last-ditch grovelling crusade to try and find a crumb of comfort to bring back to the UK. It's not occurred. She's made a position worse. People are consolidating in their positions. And as a consequence, the European Union has no reason to move either way, because in their view, it is better that the United Kingdom is virtually punished economically through crashing out of the union European Union and adopting WTO rules. But nevertheless, even so, 27 countries better prepared to hang together than is one in isolation, even with a huge neighbor and supporter like America. It's still not sufficient enough to recover the global world trade position. And Britain is looking down the barrel of a recession and all that comes with it as a consequence.
Okay. Mike Harris, you said that the UK should just chance it and do a hard Brexit, if I remember your words correctly. But let's look go ahead.
If they do that, it would give the British government, the elected officials, a chance to demonstrate what they can do without interference from the EU. You'll be able to see locally initiated actions in order to improve their economy and improve their quality of life. So you don't have the interference of Brussels. I mean, I look at Brussels really as being a dampening thing. They brought more money to the party temporarily, but the UK survived for centuries and centuries without an EU, and they can do it again. And just have a little confidence in yourself, have a little confidence. You know, if you need to put better officials in there, you elect better people who have more progressive ideas that will get this economy going. But really, that's a false argument that there may be some short-term pain, but the UK will have the opportunity to show the world what they can really do. And that is what the EU is petrified of, because if the EU does well, other countries will be bailing on the EU as well.
Okay, I'm going to get back to you, Mike Harris, regarding what the US president said about this Brexit deal. But Lee Jasper, let me ask you about this in the form of another referendum and your thoughts on that. I mean, if you want to take a look at the results in the first place, it was relatively close, if you agree. So what would be wrong with holding a second referendum? Of course, the argument for doing it or not doing it falls on both sides of the aisle here.
So a decisive referendum would have left the question firmly and conclusively answered. It's clear that this referendum it was so close that the result has split the nation. Families are arguing one way or the other. There's a generation gap in relation to those who support Brexit and the young people who see themselves as a more European community. The whole thing has been utterly divisive. But one thing can cure it, that's more democracy. I don't see a second referendum as anything to be worried about, because I actually think that now that people are fully awoke and aware to the broad implications of the Brexit options that are before them, that most people will make an educated vote in terms of their economics rather than vote for anything that delivers a stronger and better economy. So I think at the end of the day, economics will win. And a second referendum is nothing to be scared of. In fact, it's just more democracy on a question that wasn't entirely settled at the first time of asking.
Well, Mike Harris, as I told you, I'm going to ask you about this, the thoughts that the U.S. President Donald Trump has expressed on Brexit. At one point, he said that Brexit would threaten trade between the U.K. and the United States. Because I'm guessing if your scenario goes through, with a hard Brexit, then the UK would be open to do trade. But if it sticks with this Brexit deal that it has, well, Donald Trump has had that reaction. I think at one point he even said that the trade would really be threatened to the point of not doing trade. I'm not too sure if that is accurate or not. Why would the U.S. President Donald Trump say that? Is that accurate, what he said?
Well, you look at the parallels between Brexit and the election of Donald Trump. These are the electorate, the people, over 50% in each country are expressing our dissatisfaction with this globalism. And we don't like it. And so, Donald Trump said that because he opposes globalism. He's a nationalist. He's going to support a nationalist government in the UK versus supporting a globalist government in the UK. So we want to see these things. And sometimes there's a little discomfort when you change things. No one likes the reformer. Everyone is opposed to the reformer because everybody has an ox to gore. But I really think that there is a populist movement that's taken hold in the world. And you look what's going on in France right now. That's you're getting crazy because they're opposed to what has been forced on them. People want their sovereignty. They want their sovereignty of their country. They want their country to be responsive to them and their well-being. And you lose that when you're with an organization like the EU. You're having some unelected official in Brussels is making decisions that affect your life. And the people are fighting back against that hammer and tong. And like I said, the EU's worst nightmare is that the hard Brexit is successful and that the UK does well financially and economically afterwards, because other countries will be following them very soon afterwards.
Lee Jasper, we can't talk about Brexit and not mention Jeremy Corbyn. Of course, he has obviously slammed Theresa May at every which way that he could. Is he correct? Is he accurate? And did he accompany his criticism and opposition with relevant factors that would convince you or other people in the UK that he is right, that May has, in a way, sold out the people of the UK when it comes to this Brexit?
Well, certainly, I think that is absolutely undeniable. Those who take back control of our laws, well, the European Union remains in charge. Take back control of our borders, take back control of our money. All of the slogans that we heard pronounced with such invective during the referendum campaign have totally evaporated in the morning mist. And now we're left with a compromised checkers deal that is the worst of both possible worlds. Neither in, neither out, having to pay for the privilege the billions of pounds and being subject to rules made by another sovereign body. So it fulfills nobody's demands. And insofar as that, Jeremy Corbyn is absolutely right. He hasn't ruled out a second referendum. He'd prefer a general election. I think that's why the Prime Minister pulled the vote tomorrow, because he realised that a general election would be one step closer had she put the checkers deal on the cabinet table and then subsequently lost the vote. So I think Jeremy has proved himself to be adept. People have been criticising him because, you know, this is so much a polarising and binary debate. That people are expressing forthright views. But I think over the course of the period of the referendum, Jeremy's proved to be quite astute.
Mike Harris, so what's next for Theresa May? At this point, it seems like her trip to Europe has failed. Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to happen? What does she need to do to salvage the deal? Or what decisions does she need to make in order to move forward?
Well, she should learn a lesson from our President Trump.
Go ahead, Mike Harris. Sorry, Lee Jasper. Mike Harris, go ahead.
She should take a lesson from President Trump and just say no. And unless she gets the deal she wants and needs, it's going to benefit the British working class and the people of the UK, the working people of the UK, she should walk away from it. Because, as I stated, the EU fears a hard Brexit. And it may be a little tough at first, but they'll get over it. And don't compromise. Don't give it away. You know, don't allow the EU to dictate. Seize control back and get up and walk away. Sometimes you have to say this meeting is over and close your notebook and get up and leave. And I think that's what Theresa May needs to do now, unless the EU is willing to cut her a much, much better deal.
And Lee Jasper, I'd like to pose that same question to you. At this point, what are her options and what is she going to do that is going to give her a chance to try to salvage not only the deal, if that's what she wants to do, but also her tenure as a prime minister?
There's only one deal on the table, and that's the one that the EU have signed off, and there'll be no more negotiation around that. And she's tied herself in to a strategy that has delivered her political oblivion. The only reason she remains in power is because of the peculiar circumstances within the Tory party, where the those who would challenge her for a leadership are prowling around the perimeter, not wanting to make a move until the Brexit matter is resolved. And so the clock ticks for a prime minister that is in office, but not really in power. And the European Union, with its huge mandate, and I have to say, the complete solidarity. There's not been a nation that has sought to offer a different view or break away in terms of their resolve on this particular agreement. So that's what's on the table, that's what's on offer, and that, I'm afraid, is the political death warrant for Theresa May. It's only a matter of time.
Okay, and I guess my final question is going to go to you, Mike Harris. When you want to take a look at the economy that the UK is going to either suffer from, which it seems like it will, no matter what scenario happens, is it going to be as bad as some have predicted, which is a contraction of up to 8% by some accounts?
Well, we don't know what we don't know yet. We'll have to see, because the people who put together these studies about what the contraction is going to be, they can skew the data depending on what metrics they're using. I don't think it's going to be that bad. And in fact, I think it may be neutral and maybe a point or two of growth over the long term. Come back a year from now and we'll see where it's at.
Thank you very much. We're going to end it there. Let me thank first our correspondent from Brussels who spoke to us, Jerome Hughes, also senior advisor to ex-London Mayor Lee Jasper. Thank you for your comments, Lee Jasper. And also editor at Veterans Today, Mike Harris, thank you, who spoke to us from Phoenix. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tawai, the entire team of the Capital Tehran, it's goodbye.